T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Oss, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager, as well as former Saints fullback Zach Line, who played with the Saints in 2017, 2018, and 2019. Played with the Vikings before that, but it's really those 3 Saints years. And Zach, you had quite an introduction earlier from Mickey. You said, you know, just those 3 years that they won the division, all 3 years that you played. So welcome to the show. Those must have been great, great years.
I appreciate it. Those are some of my favorite years of football. So, yeah, 17, 18, and 19 are some special years of my life of football, for sure.
And then, of course, Saints' victory over the Rams doesn't ever take away what happened in the NFC Championship game, but feels nice nonetheless.
For sure.
Mickey,
hey,
talk.
Look, I'm going to start with a couple things here. Mike, you may not know this, but you know, Zach obviously went to high school in Oxford, Michigan, and then he went to SMU. So I want to hear the story about how you went from Michigan to Dallas, Texas, and to SMU.
Yeah. Well, in high school, I've always kind of taken the road where I'm just going to take care of my business and things always work out. And the way the landscape is now for college sports, you have to sell yourself a lot more than you did probably before my time. And I'm at a small school, Oxford, Michigan. Now it's grown up a little bit now, but not a lot of the guys got recruited out of there. I think we had 2 guys, Dave Rayner, you know, went to Michigan State, was a kicker, went on and played in the NFL. Then Eric Gajcek, played at Central Michigan, then went on and played in the NFL for 6 years. So really, if you were going to leave Oxford and play college football, you're probably going to go to the NFL as well. So our odds were pretty good. And wasn't getting highly recruited. I was visiting Michigan State. I was visiting Central Michigan. And never got an offer. And then Bill Keenest, who's actually the PR guy with the Lions, his son went to school with me, and he said, hey, I'll send your film out to June Jones in Hawaii, and let's see what happens. So a couple days go by, and Hawaii reaches out, and they extend an offer. And then a couple more days go by, and he says, hold tight. I'll call you in a few days. He calls me from Dallas, Texas, because come down to SMU, check us out, see if you like us. If you do, there's another offer for you from SMU. So I went down. It was probably the middle of January. It's getting near the end of recruiting season. It's 30 degrees in Michigan. It's 75 degrees in Dallas. And the women were beautiful. And I was pretty much sold by the time I got off the airplane.
Well, that worked out really nicely for you. Look, Mike, Zach had 3 straight seasons with over 1,000 yards rushing. He finished his career with 4,185 yards rushing and 75 receptions and 47 touchdowns. So he had a pretty storied career carrying the football at SMU. And then, you know, got to the NFL, got to the Minnesota Vikings as an undrafted free agent, and then didn't get to carry the ball very often. So it was quite a transition.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is you're taught through college. And what's interesting is I came from a hard-nosed high school football coach where we put the pads on every single day, including Thursday before a game, and we went after it every single day. And I get to June Jones, who's more of the pro-style guy. We didn't wear pads very often. I didn't know how to play football anymore with that kind of style. So I became a little bit more fancy for a little bit when they moved me to running back because nobody could hit me. And then I got back to the NFL, and they're saying, hey, now you got to take these NFL linebackers on square and go move people. So it went from hard nose to a little bit more of a fancy style of football to back to you got to go hit people. And once I transitioned to that role, I fell in love with the fullback position.
And it felt like, and Mickey and I talked about this, that certainly Sean and this organization believed in the fullback. You caught three touchdown passes. You were involved. I mean, you were a part of the system that they believed in, not, you know, come in every other, you know, one down a half, things like that.
Yeah, no, I think it obviously depended on the game plan. You know, I thought it was interesting to hear some of their perspectives on why they're using fullback certain games, and it's helped me now as a high school football coach, but. You know, we were going against the LA Rams. The LA Rams didn't use a fullback very often, and we had good personnel matchups because they'd bring another linebacker in, and they'd spread me out wide, and so we'd have good matchups for other guys to, you know, be one-on-one with a linebacker. And then you're playing the Cardinals, who they never see a fullback, and they don't practice a fullback, so now they have to put a fullback into their practice plan, which is not what they want to do. So those are kind of the fun perspectives that you got of why they're using me. And you know, and what I really appreciated was it wasn't, you know, one size fits all offense. You kind of molded around the players. So you even look back as far as my high school career and came up to me one day and said, "Hey, you played quarterback for a little bit in high school, right?" Like, "Yeah, I did. And can you run the option?" So that's kind of where the option play came in, that we ran against Detroit, I believe once against Chicago.
Wow. So you're the head football coach of Oxford High School in Oxford, Michigan. It's a charter township outside of Detroit, a little northwest of Detroit, between Detroit and Flint. Small, about 3,600 in the township, and tragedy strikes. It's been almost a year, November 30th of 2021. Four students are tragically shot by another student. One of them was one of your players, Tate Meyer. I can't imagine what that was like then, but out of such tragic situations, sometimes good things happen, and this is one of those tales. I guess take me back to what was a year ago, you know, and what were those first few weeks? Must have just been as low as things can get.
Yeah, you know, we don't talk about the day ever here in Oxford, but just a quick tape kind of biography. That kid was phenomenal. I mean, not just an athlete on the field. He legitimately ran a 4.240 as an athlete, was, you know, 215, 20 pounds, did everything you could ask for as a football coach, but even more than that, he was a phenomenal. And then, you know, when everything happens, you start hearing all the stories of the kids, not just from Oxford, because he went to I have a gym here as well, ETS Performance, it's in Oxford, and Tate went there, but so many families from different towns come to that gym, and Tate was like this silent mentor to all these younger kids, so... while you never know how far your impact is, that kid did more in his 16 years than I think a lot of people do in their lifetime, which was amazing to us. And, you know, following everything that happened, it was obviously there didn't seem like there was light at the end of the tunnel, but I knew we just needed to be together as much as we could. We got the team together. We went to MAC championship games. We went to, you know, I have an ice skating rink in my house. We got together, had an ice hockey tournament. So, we did everything possible following that just to keep kids together, because the worst thing you can do is be alone. And it's the whole reason you have a team. It's the whole reason you build culture, is that you got to, if you're going to preach these things and instill these things in your team, you got to act on them and you got to lead by example. And I thought our team did a phenomenal job, and our coaches and everybody that, you know, had a role in bringing these kids back to a foundation did an amazing job. I mean, these are uncharted territories, and I think we're going to look back after this football season and, you know, think of how we could have done better. But I just think it's one of those things we're kind of writing the book as we're going here. So, you know, the days after were dark. But the amazing thing to me was very quickly after Tate's Buck didn't start a GoFundMe for their family. He immediately, you know, wanted to start this mentorship program. Because in his mind, he's never really said anything bad about the shooter. He's always said there should never be a kid that feels that alone. There should never be a kid that, you know, feels this type of way where he has to resort to something like this. We have to do better as a community. We have to do better as people. We have to be better of never making somebody feel that way. So he started a, obviously 4-2 Strong, but also started a scholarship program in Tate's name. 4-2 Strong is what I'm a part of. It's a peer-to-peer mentorship program. We have about 250 kids in it now from Oxford, and we're starting to get other high schools coming in, looking at the program, because really it's a no-brainer. There's no political push here. It's just all about getting kids together And then the mentors of our foundation, they'll take a training course, about 6 hours of it, of, you know, how to be a mentor, how to handle situations. And then we have team leaders that oversee them that are parents in the community or grown-ups in the community that will oversee teams of mentors and mentees. So there is some structure in place, not kind of just, hey, let's get kids together. But so far, so good.
I guess one of the things that was – go ahead, Mickey.
Well, that's, you know, it's good to hear that something good can come out of such a tragedy. And look, I think it's really important that Tate Meyer will never be forgotten in Michigan, and certainly at Oxford. And that's a credit to you and all the people there that have tried to do some good out of this tragedy, Zach. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
And it was Tate Meyer and Madison Baldwin, Justin Schilling, and Hannah St. Juliana. And we just had this situation recently at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. I used to work in Charlottesville. I lived there. And so there are many communities across the globe that think they're immune and it couldn't happen here, and certainly not in Oxford Charter Township, you know, but it does all the time, and no one's immune. And the key and part of what is Tate's traits, and that's part of 42 Strong, is to try to see things or help people on the front end, right? I mean, that's peer, and that's got to be peer-to-peer, right?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just being good people. And you never know what kids are going home to or what friend group they're in. This is giving them an opportunity to step outside that and join an organization that's all about changing things for the positive. And half of it is, I think, after everything happens and you're a student and your school just had this happen to you, you want a way to help. You want a way to make change. And really, this gives them a platform to change, hopefully, the world, starting right here in Oxford, Michigan, right? This is the one place that they can come to where they can be a part of something that's just kind of breaking ground and spreading its wings, and they can be a part of that and be kind of the founding members of this movement towards just being good people.
So that people kind of understand, so because I'm going to ask, you know, how they can help, there's 42 Strong, 42 is his jersey, and that's more of the mentorship program. And then you have the Tate Meyer Memorial Scholarship Fund, and that's, you know, basically a student athlete will receive a check of $12,000 towards their post-secondary school of his or her choice. I mean, that's how people can get involved that maybe aren't at the high school level, correct?
Absolutely.
What does... I apologize, I don't know. Are many kids in this area, are a lot of them doing college, going that secondary route, or is this, I would imagine, irrespective of that, this financial aid is crucial for a lot of kids in determining if they go and where they go?
Yeah, no, I would say that the percentage of students that go to college from Oxford is high, and I know it seems like a smaller town when you just a charter, but you have about 1,600 kids, I would say, walking the halls, and with our virtual academy, we're right around 2,500 students at Oxford. So it's a good size school. So this scholarship was, I guess, heavily sought after this year. So I wrote some letters of recommendation for multiple football players this year for it. And it's definitely one of those scholarships that's a lot of help for these kids. And I know I'm not on that board, but I know that when they're looking at it, they're looking at just next level people. It's hard when you're trying to, you know, live up to who Tate was, but as long as they can see a kid that's striving to be that person, that's normally where the scholarship's going to go. And that's kind of all we're trying to do with this. Just, we're not telling you to pick every Tate trait. There's 12 of them. We're asking you to pick one and just strive to be better at that one. And maybe if you get there, you move on to the next one. But you can't take on too much. And we're just trying to be, again, just take one trait and strive to be better at that.
Back with former Saint fullback Zach Line and Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis after this timeout on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas with former Saints fullback Zach Line and Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis.
Look, what did you always want to be a coach? I mean, what took you from playing in the NFL to, okay, the next thing you know, you basically ended your playing career and went right to being a high school football coach.
You know, I've always been attracted to that role. You know, I've seen how much of an impact that coaches have had on me in my life, not only my high school coach and Bud Raleigh, who was around for forever in Oxford, but coaches along the way. I'm thinking of Kirby Wilson, JT with the Saints, and even Sean and Dan and all those guys that were part of that organization. You constantly have someone that you're like, man, that guy gave me a different perspective or made me think of things a different way. So just seeing how much of an impact you can have, but also having that competitive fire in you, it's really the only way that you can fulfill that when your knees start to go and you start to get the aches and pains a little bit more than you did in the past, right? So that was one of those things where I was ending my career and Bud Raleigh was stepping down as head coach in Oxford, who had been here forever. I just felt like I was called to take this position in Oxford and lead young men. And with everything that's happened, I feel like it's even more of a reassurance that I'm in the right place, because I just know that I feel like I was the right guy to be here for all this happening. Not saying that a different coach would have done better or worse, but I feel like after being around all the good people I've been around, I had the tool belt to kind of take care of these kids and help out where I can.
Yeah, that's awesome. So here, I got one more question for you. So is game day? Your demeanor on game day more like, is it game day Dan Campbell, game day Sean Payton, or are you a little more calm and collected?
I would say probably a little bit more like Roschar and Pete Carmichael than Sean. I remember my first year with the Saints, I got a penalty, and I don't think I've ever had a more scary look in my life than I had from Sean. And it didn't even say anything, but I knew exactly. I looked over at Josh Hill, who had been there for 4 years now, and he's like, oh, yeah, man, watch out for him. He's a different character on game day, and he was fired up. But, I would say I'm a little bit more calm, a little bit more collected on game day. That's not good or bad. It's just my style.
Yep, I understand it completely. Well, no one wanted to get that there, that's for sure.
Believe me, everybody on this call, media as well. Just a couple more for me, and then we'll let you go. How was your season? I don't know where you are, if the playoffs have started, or how did your team do?
Wasn't a great year. So we lost the first game, and then our second game was Valley Sports covered it. That's, I don't know if you guys have Valleys or not. That's,
yeah,
like Fox Sports,
sure,
turned into up here. Okay, so Valley Sports covered our first game. It was the first game back at Oxford. And we won that game against a team that just lost in playoffs. So a good team. It was hard to overcome distractions this year. You know, there's no built-in excuses ever here, and that's never how we'll be. You know, something happened to us, we're going to keep grinding, we're going to keep moving on. Not moving on, but we're going to keep becoming better from this, right? So you can't just stay stagnant and have this built-in excuse forever. The kids from Oxford are tough. They're going to keep pushing. But we play in a tough conference. You know, we went 1-8 this year. The previous year, we started 1-4, and we won 6 straight and went to the second round of playoffs. So this is a team that's always going to be a little bit undersized, a little bit, not as fast as most of the teams we're going to play. But we have tough kids that are disciplined, which is almost better as a coach, because if you have kids that are tough already, and kids that are disciplined, you can get them in the right positions and win a lot of football games.
Well, finally, just for people that have been listening and go, wow, 42 strong and the scholarship, for people who want to just learn more or help out, is there a website? What can they do?
I believe that the exact website is 42 Strong Tate. If you type that in, or if you just went to into Google or whatever the search engine is and just type in 42 Strong, we should pop up pretty quickly. And there's info on there. There's who's on board, what we do, a lot of pictures of our past events. We'll have monthly events, and then there's a place to donate as well on that website.
Well, Nicky, why don't you say goodbye first, and then I'll close her up.
Yep. Yep. Zach, thanks again for sharing your time with us, and appreciate seeing you. Hopefully you'll come down again, and if we ever get to Minnesota, we ever get up there to Detroit again, maybe we can get your team out and visit with the team.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. And Nick, I'm forever grateful for you guys bringing me up to the Saints. I know it probably seems normal to you, but being up there for Alumni Weekend, there's not many teams or even organizations that take care of their alumni the way you guys do. It makes it a family environment, a team that you're always going to cheer for. So again, I'm appreciative of everything the Saints organization did for me.
Awesome. Thanks, Zach.
We hear that a lot, Zach, from other players that have come back really just in recent weeks. They had the Hall of Fame. They've had many things. The Dome Patrol tribute, Sam Mills. And so we hear the same thing. So kudos to the organization. Continued success for you as a head coach and what you're doing for Tate Meyer and his family and 42 Strong. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And that is tonight's show, The Saints Hour. Thanks for listening. My thanks to Saints and Pelicans owner, Mrs. Gail Benson, Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, and former Saints fullback Zach Line and all that he is doing to promote 42 Strong, as well as booth producer Charlie Long. The Saints get a victory against the NFC West and the LA Rams, looking for two straight against the division, against the San Francisco 49ers Sunday afternoon from Santa Clara, California. And we will look for you next week on the Saints Hour on the Community Coffee New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.